Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. We stand in agreement with that song that was just sung. We thank you that we can face tomorrow because you're the God of all of our tomorrows. Father, this morning as we stand before you, so much has been done, and we do want to ask you to give us a church filled of young children, Lord. We pray for our Jerusalem, this 3-mile radius, oh God. Help us to glean the harvest of this region. We promise to tell everyone it was the Lord who hath done great things for us. Was it by our own wisdom, ingenuity? Not by power, not by might, but by your Spirit that these things were accomplished, Lord. Father, we pray for America this morning. We need revival, Lord. We pray for Washington, D.C. Lord, it's been so broken for decades. But Jesus, we ask you that you would come and visit the vine that your right hand hath planted. We pray for a great awakening, O God, that according to Acts chapter 3, the season of refreshment. Send refreshment, O God, to the house of the Lord. We pray for every gospel preaching church in America. Jesus, that your fire, fresh fire, would fall upon us. You said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Father, help us not to have to become humiliated to get humble. But of our own volition, our own choice, we choose to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And you said in due season you would lift us up. Oh, Father, we pray that the gift of repentance would fall in America. And Father, this morning, we do want to thank you, Father, that your eyes are upon the righteous and that your ears are attentive to their cry in Jesus' name. I just remember one more thing we have to do. Where's Brother Bernard? We have to pray for Kenya. Kenya has a great election coming up Tuesday. There's violence, there's murders, there's killings. But the Bible says we have peace through the blood of the cross. And the Holy Spirit reminded me as I was praying, our brother's going to pray for the nation of Kenya. Africa needs revival. Asia needs revival. The nations need to be revived. But would you put your faith together with us for the nation of Kenya? I have traveled through Kenya. It's a great nation, but open up to the gospel. We have seen Islam come in and try to stop and hinder and halt the gospel of Jesus. And so, the Bible says we have peace through the blood of the cross. And so as we pray today, would you just continue to declare that over the nation of Kenya? And I'm going to ask my brother to pray, and we'll stand in agreement with him.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up the great nation of Kenya, Lord, before your able hands. We thank you because you are the Lord God who sets up the nations and directs them according to your ways, Father.
Yes.
We thank you because you are the Lord God Almighty who sustains everything by the word of your power.
Yes.
Father, even as Kenya is transitioning and going through very contentious and divisive elections on Tuesday of this week, we believe, Father, that you can turn everything around. There has been, it's been like a powder keg where politicians have set people against each other. Father, we want to come against that in the mighty name of Jesus, that may the people understand that the world, the earth is the Lord's and its fullness thereof.
Yes.
And that it is the Lord himself who can redeem them. Father, we thank you, Lord. We give you glory and honor as you take care of Kenya. I believe ahead of time that there will be peace. Yes. And we pray for godly leaders, Father. We not only pray for the top leaders, but we pray for each and everybody in the nation of Kenya, Father. Give us leaders like David who are after your own heart, Father. Leaders like Joseph, like Nehemiah, like Isaiah, who can lead the people.
Yes, Father.
Father, we thank you. We give you glory and honor. And as we will be continuing to pray and intercede for the nation of Kenya, Father, may you be with us, Lord. We thank you. We give you glory and honor. in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And this morning when I was having devotions in our house with my wife, we had so many calls from Kenya, and the situation is really tense. And Kenya has always been blessed by, God has always blessed us. Because Kenya has been a refuge for many, many people, you know, in turmoil countries in Africa. We have had refugees all the way from South Africa, the Congo, Rwanda, Uganda, Ethiopia, Eritrea, Sudan. And we have lived with them like our brothers and sisters. And I believe those are one of the reasons why God cannot let Kenya slide into anarchy. Last time it happened was 2007, and the then President George Bush sent Condi Rice to come and take care of that situation. It was really bad, and it was heading that way, but as I implore all of you to stand in the gap for the nation of Kenya, I believe that the Lord can turn it around.
Yes.
And we ask that today we'll be joining up with the Kenya-Rwanda service so that we continue interceding for the nation of Kenya. So many things have happened to us, good things. That's why I believe the Lord has his heart in our country. I believe America is blessed because America stands with Israel. I believe Kenya is blessed because we stand with the nation of Israel.
Amen.
40 years ago, when the Jews were hijacked by terrorists, Kenya came up to help Israel. When the terrorists hijacked this plane and took it to Uganda. Maybe many of you know it, but if you know, it was even translated into a movie. It's called The Entebbe Raid. And Kenya was very, very prominent in that mission. And even right now, as we are helping in the fight of terrorism, we have had a lot of things come against us. Right now, the Kenya Defense Forces is in Somalia with the help of the Americans trying to fight Al-Shabaab. And all these things, I believe that God is looking at. When we pray, we remind the Lord that look at what we are doing. And Lord says that he is not going to leave us nor forsake us. So please continue interceding for the country of Kenya and its people. And just to bring it near home, it is very refreshing and good to know that Pastor Fink got the vision to come to the city of Albany after a successful missionary trip from Kenya. We are very, very grateful.
Right.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Hallelujah. It's true, I was in the nation of Kenya praying when God gave me a vision of the city of my birth to come here. And it has been a struggle. What are you laughing at?
What's not a struggle? But we win.
So,
but we win.
I'm going to try to give you a short message. Is that okay? It was just a kind of a different day today. So I'll put your Bible up real high to me and let's confess. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
This is the incorruptible, indestructible, true living Word of God. Father God, my heart is open.
My mind is alert.
Holy Spirit, come and teach me from this Word.
And I declare,
I will mix it with my faith,
and I will
never, ever be the same. Tell your neighbor you'll never be the same. Can you hear me okay? I went swimming and both my ears are plugged up with water. I'm like, I had to keep saying to my daughter, is it loud enough? Thing. So I hope you can hear me. Thank you, Nance. Hallelujah. I'm so blessed to have my wife with me. She's so happy to be married to me. She tells me every day. She's blessed. She's encouraged.
Yes.
Is it true?
Ditto. Yes.
See, I just told you the truth. I'm not speaking for her, but she's just happy. I want to look about... I don't know how we're going to get through this, but hallelujah, we'll do our best today. I want to look at Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. I want to talk about boast in the Lord, about boasting in the Lord. And as you read this in the context, you'll find out that that the people of God had really drifted away from God's purposes for their life. And so the prophet of the Lord says this. He says, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boast about this. Here it is. That he who understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercise kindness and justice and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. It's interesting, the word boast, there's a Hebrew word, halal. And let me just say this to you. Thousands of years before Islam was, the Jews used the word halal. There's halal stores all the way down on Central Avenue. They call them halal stores. But halal is from a Jewish derivation. And let me just give you the Hebrew meaning for it. It means to boast. It means to praise. It means to celebrate. Matter of fact, if you put one of God's names on the end of this, J-H-A-Y, Yah, you have hallelujah. Amen. It means to boast, to laud, to celebrate the only true and living God. Halal, hallelujah. And so these two scriptures that we've just looked at, they can stand alone, and they're often quoted about who God is and what he's looking for. But you have to remember as we read these scriptures this morning that these scriptures were given to people who were backslidden, who started in faith, but they were no longer in faith. It's important we understand the context of this. You know, it's not how you start in life, it's how you finish in life. You might have had a bad beginning in your own personal life, and I'm sorry about that. We cannot change that, but by faith, we can build a wonderful ending to our lives. By faith, hallelujah. And so, the question is, as a nation, as a people, individuals, what can we boast in? As a nation, what do we boast in? I can remember the first time I was in South Africa preaching, they all boasted about how much gold they had. I remember I was in Kimberley, South Africa, and Kimberley, South Africa is where I met my first Christian prostitute. I couldn't sleep because of the time change, and I was walking the streets, and now the sun was coming up. I was crying out to God. I had to preach several times that day. I hadn't slept all night. And I was walking. A woman came up, and she spoke to me in Afrikaans. And I said, I don't speak Afrikaans. I only speak English. So she spoke to me in English, and she propositioned me. I said, I am a Christian. She said, well, praise the Lord, so am I. I said, well, you're the first Christian prostitute I ever made. I don't think that's in the Bible, at least not the Bible that I read. Hallelujah. And so as a nation, America, Kenya, the Philippines, wherever it is, we cannot trust in our resources or our wisdom or our connections or our money or our education. Amen? We need to be reminded that our strength is not in the brain trust of Washington, D.C. Our strength is not in Wall Street. It's not in the stock markets. It's not in the economy. Our strength is not in the cleverness of our politicians who we elect. Our strength is not found in the fact that we have nuclear weapons. When I was in Korea, that's what they all were talking about, South Korea, about what's going on in North Korea right now. And he, if you don't know it, he has tweaked, that guy. His uncle disagreed with him, so he fed his uncle to wild dogs. I struggle with those type of things, but just me personally. Our strength that we have must lie in our spiritual values, in our moral values, in our adherence to the Word of God. That's where our strength comes from. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. We draw strength from that strong tower. The Bible says that our strength comes from the Lord. He's a present help in time of trouble. You know, the Lord just amazes me how that when we call out to him, he immediately moves on our behalf. We might not see it with the natural eye, but this is not a natural thing, it's a spirit thing. I am mindful in Daniel chapter 9 that Daniel cried out. You know, he fasted and prayed for 21 days, Daniel 9 and 10. And finally, an angel appears to him and says these words: the moment you prayed, God heard that prayer and answered that prayer. But there was a prince of Persia, a geopolitical spirit, that tried to stop and to hinder the manifestation of that. We are in a war. In fact, during the worship time, I was going to prophesy. I was in my spirit that we are in a war. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of every stronghold. We have the victory living on the inside of us. We don't need to draw back or shut up. But most of the things we're talking about this morning are not taught in the government schools anymore. Some people get offended when I say government schools. These are government programs run by people. The largest union, most powerful union in America is the NEA, the National Education Association. They influence the nations. A few weeks ago, I spoke at a seminar for the persecuted Christians in Pakistan. And there was a man there who's a Catholic priest, a good friend of mine. We have become very good friends. I love this guy, Augustine. And for about 2 years, he came to a Bible study I had when I first came to Albany. I took him through a whole 26 weeks of foundation principle course. And he teaches it now, so hallelujah. And as we sat together, he said to me, he's concerned about the Catholic Church, about the direction it's been going. I said to him, I have the answer why you've taken a wrong direction as an organization. He said, what do you think it is? Because at one time, the Catholic Church educated more children than any organization on the planet. My wife used to say, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. We take these out, you know, if you don't understand government education in America, Horace Greene went to Prussia and learned the concept of government education. Look, I'm only saying this. You put your kid in the public school, government schools for 8 hours a day, they come out and that's how they think. They're indoctrinated. It's really important that you understand that, that you do your homework as a mom and a dad. That's why Awana is important. There are people even within this church, we love you, but you don't even read the Bible to your kids and pray with them. You wonder why some of them struggle in their walk with God when they're out there in the government schools being bombarded with lies and deceptions 8 hours a day. It is important. I'm not just saying Awana. We have youth groups. We have a lot of people who are not here today, but some of your teenagers do not come to youth group. They need to come to the youth group because most of you aren't doing it at home. Yeah, somebody just threw something at me. So what happens when I don't have a lot of time to preach? And I have found that we have brought forth, because of the lack of biblical morals, that I remember as a young boy, consciously in Albany, New York, going to school carrying my Bible. And I remember when it became against the law. At one time, 39 million children prayed every day in the government schools through our loudspeakers. They prayed that God would bless our education, bless our school, and bless America, and bless our families. And now it's illegal to do that. And look what we have now. We're bringing forth a generation that is rude, a generation that has no sense of morality at all. I just read something where a couple of teenagers were arrested in New York City for having open sexual relationship on the subway. No shame, no problem about it, because there's no standard. You know, the Word of God gives us a standard of right and wrong. And there's biblical absolutes. We don't have to change them. You know, one of the big problems I have with, I'm going to preach about this probably in a few weeks, about what's happening in America with the transgender issues. There is no such thing in the Bible as transgender. You're XX or XY, that's it. It's a lie because the devil wants to take, you were created in the image of God. Sin has marred that image. And the homosexual agenda has so twisted, it's so infiltrated education at every level. I just read in Australia that parents took their five-year-old child and had them operated to change them into a girl. They should be put in prison, taking a five-year-old child and determining them at that point. Look, you don't think it's coming here? You know, I've preached about this before, that over, I think it's in Norway or Sweden, I forget which one now, they have after-birth abortion. Who could even think that if you have a child, you bring that child home from the hospital, you have 21 days to determine whether you want to keep that child. And if not, by law, by legal design, by legal edict, you can bring that child back to the hospital and the doctor will euthanize that child because it's not declared a human until 21 days. Who could think of taking your 2.5-week-old child and say, you know what, I'm just not getting enough rest? You don't think it's going to happen here? You don't think eventually the devaluing of the sanctity of life, unless we stand up, unless you stand up, unless you shake the world with your opinions? I thank God for that young man. He was in a country where they could put you to death for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We fear. I love that song. It so touched me when I was in Korea. If I live, I live for him. If I die, I die for him. That's the commitment of the Christian who's consecrated and dedicated unto the Lord God Almighty. This is not something alternate lifestyle we do on a Sunday. This is who we are. We're these living epistles. Well, you might be the only Bible this community or where you live ever reads. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Take the bushel off of your head. Speak up, talk up, share the good news of Jesus Christ. Who would have thought that that young man who was struggling with his own religion in that country of Morocco was wondering, is there something more, something more? God sends a 14-year-old or probably, I don't know, 13-year-old? You better grow up. Would send a 13-year-old who would just be at the right moment, at the right time, when there's a kid listening to heathen music, wondering, is there a God? Is there a better way? And a 13-year-old up from Albany, New York, shows up and leads him to Christ. Who knows? Who knows what will happen in a couple of years with this kid? Who knows the next Billy Graham or R.W. Shambach or whoever you want, Joel Olstein, whoever you want, could emerge in that nation from a boy because somebody stepped out of their comfort zone. Hallelujah. The fact is, I hate to say this, and we're going to pray in a few moments and have communion, is that as a nation, we have lost our way. Here's what Jeremiah said to his people in Jeremiah 13. He said, give glory to the Lord, your God, before he causes darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. That's what's happening in America. That's what's happening in the nations. We're stumbling upon dark. Our nations have become like dark mountains. Look, I have been in utter darkness. And even a tiny little flash can dispel all the darkness. Even a match. No matter how dark. In gross darkness, we have the light of the gospel. Paul called it the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have that reality on the inside of us. When we move in faith, knees have to bow. Situations absolutely do change. He says, but back in our scripture in the beginning, he said, but let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me. That's where your boasting ought to be. That's where your lauding ought to be. That's where your declarations be. I know the Lord. Last week I was... I think I might have said something on a Tuesday night. I was at the YMCA, and I sat in the sauna. You know me. I have hot tub ministry. Now it's emerging into the sauna room. So I'm in the sauna room. There's a man from India there who I know. I've witnessed with him for 5 years. He's a Hindu, kinda. And so when I came into the room, he's completely white hair, and he's younger than me, and I always make fun of him how old he is. And he makes fun of me how fit he is, but anyway, that's another subject. And so he was sitting there with his legs crossed, and there was a lot of people in there. I sat down, and I hadn't seen him in 6 months. I said, since I've seen you, I've been to India. He said, I don't care about India anymore. I've been here 30-some years, and when I went back to India, he said, I was ashamed. The dirt, the garbage all over there. He went on and on. I said, well, I love India. I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to share Jesus Christ. I said, the answer to India's problems and ills is Jesus Christ and a good education. Those two things. So he says, well, that's your job. I said, I don't think so. I get paid for putting up with people like you. He's our, So now I'm sitting there, a man who I'd never seen before said to me, I've never heard anybody talk that passionate about Christ. I said, I'm very impassioned. I said, I used to be dead in my sins, and now I'm alive to God. I said, what do you do for a living? He says, I'm a motivational speaker. I said, well, I am too. I motivate people to come to Christ. That's my job, you know. And so we go into the locker room, and he comes over and he said, would you pray for me? I said, yeah. So I get done with him. A guy who I've seen turns around. He said, you're a minister of the gospel? I'm there, yes, I am. He said, would you pray for me? I'm there, yeah, what's your problem? He says, I have to sing at church, a Methodist church. And he said, I'm singing a solo. I said, look, I'll pray for you right now. Now everybody's hearing me. And I don't go just to do this to offend people, but the anointing had opened up these opportunities. You got to know when to hold them. I think Kenny Rogers said, know when to fold them. I don't even know the song that much. So now I'm on a roll, man. So he says, this is the song I'm singing. He starts singing. I'd never heard it before. And he's singing. People, what's going on the other side of that? We're having revival over on this side of the locker, you know. And so there's another man named George. He came and told me he has cancer. What am I telling you? I'm only telling you we should be boasting. We should be lauding. We should be declaring. We should be demonstrating the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ with power. Hallelujah. But let him who boast in this, that he understands and knows me. For I am the Lord, and I execute kindness and justice and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, says the Lord. Boasting in the Lord. Man, I got some great things to say. Ushers, come forward. So what should we understand and know according to Jeremiah? That he is the Lord. Interesting, it's Jehovah Adonai. He is the possessor of heaven and earth. You need to know him. And the power of his, not knowing about him. You can get computer programs that will tell you about him, knowing him. And as a young man, I was told this, you can miss heaven by 18 inches from here to here. It's what the heart man believes, not head knowledge, not mentally assenting to something. We must know the Lord. And by the way, no matter what age you are when you come to Christ, it's never, ever, never, ever, never, never, ever, never, never too late. He's the God of the turnaround. He's a God who can take things that are just impossible and make them possible. Amen? You've got to know that he is the Lord, Jehovah Adonai, the self-existent one, the possessor of heaven and earth, the one who said, let there be light, and at 186,000 miles per second. That's the one we're talking about. We're talking about the sea walker, the dead raiser, the one who opened the eyes of the blind, the one who restores families and gives people their dignity and hope back. We're talking about, you've got to know him. The Bible says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let me just say this today, we prepare our hearts for communion. A reward is not something that takes away from your life, it adds to your life. Every time I go to the city mission, I preach the same verse. I never know where it's going to take me. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, who went around doing good. He went around doing good. He went around doing good, healing all of those who have been oppressed of the devil. For it's the devil who wants to oppress you. It's the devil who wants to make you sick and to take your joy, and take your hope, and take your children, take your future. But our God is an awesome God. That's why I'm kind of overwhelmed today. You see, I deserve, you deserve to be punished for our lives. All we like sheep have gone astray, each one of us. But the good news that I'm in Christ, I don't get what I deserve. I get what Jesus paid for. In his dying body, hallelujah, he bore my sins, and by his stripes I've been healed. What do you have to know? He is the Lord. You need to know that he exercises kindness and that he's a good, good father. He is a good, good father. We live in a fallen world occupied by devils, but in the midst of this, we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't even have to fear any evil. His rod, his staff will comfort us. He'll lead us to still waters and green pastures. He's good. He's good. Come on, he's been good. Can we just be honest? He's been really good to us today. just about there. It says that he exercises judgment or justice. By the way, God doesn't rule by love. He rules by justice. And he rules. He is righteous. He exercises righteousness. Let's stand up this morning. I gave you the Reader's Digest condensed version of what it means to boast in the Lord today. Let's prepare our hearts. Ushers, in the name of Jesus, start spreading this out. I just feel like speaking in tongues, excuse me. You've been so good to me. You can bless them. Forgive me. Come on, church. Last 15 minutes, Rachel, I've just heard in my spirit, and I'm just going to say it to you, that God's about to bring a suddenly season to you. He's going to do a quick work, Rachel, and cut it short in righteousness. It's going to overtake you. It's going to overtake you. Probably one of the most powerful nights that our Savior lived. It was the night that he cut a new covenant. He sat with those he loved the most, those he was endeared to. And as they sat at that table, it was the Passover supper, commemorating when that death angel passed over Israel. But those who would not repent or relent or change or put their trust in God's provision suffer the consequences. The good news is he who knew no sin, he became sin for us. That even in his dying body, he bore our sins. He went to a whipping post. And with his chastisement, we've got peace today. A peace that is described as passing understanding. It's God's mighty shalom for his people today. In the Bible, leaven always represented sin. And at that table, there was no leaven in the bread. Jesus was the Word of God. John said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus was that Lamb. He was tested and tried by the devil in every manner possible, yet he never sinned. And as we hold this up, he said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. That Greek word remembrance literally means to put two things together. To put it together, we call the word being mindful or remembering. Also was translated as the word sepulcher or tombstone. When you do it, a sepulcher or a tombstone, you remember the one you love so much. And this morning, Father, as we come before you, we remember. We remember. We will never forget. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. And Lord, we're so thankful this day. You said people have not discerned this activity. And many have become sick and even died. We know this morning, Lord, because of revelation of the scriptures, that not only in your dying body did you bear our sins, but by your stripes we're healed. And we discern it today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we break the power of all sickness, disease, any plague, any problem in anyone's body today. We break the power of that in the name of Jesus. We declare by the stripes of Jesus we've been healed. And Lord, as we do this now, we do this in remembrance of you. And may God bless you. Same night he was betrayed, he took the fruit of the vine. And Jesus said, this is my blood of the new covenant. As often as you do this, the scripture makes it clear that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. But he willfully gave himself for you and me. For the joy that was before him, our Savior, our Creator, our Lord, endured the torturous experience of Calvary. Lord Jesus, as we hold this up this morning, we're mindful of so many wonderful things you have done. I'm just going to walk down here. If there's something you want to just say I'm thankful to God for, go ahead, Pastor.
I'm overwhelmed this morning because he said we have to forgive not just 7 times, but 70 times 7.
Forgiveness. Somebody else. You're thankful for something.
God has saved by his blood.
Yes.
Thank you for your mercy.
Mercy. Yes. Somebody else.
Peace and uncommon favor.
We thank you, Father, for your peace, your uncommon favor, Rachel.
I'm thankful for grace.
For the grace of God. Hallelujah. Come on. What are you thankful for?
May your blood flow and bring physical and spiritual healing. In Jesus' name, amen.
For healing, physically and spiritually. Let's lift our glasses up one more time. Father, we do this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And this day, we further dedicate ourselves to the cause of the cross. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
Yeah.
it's who